Hello.
No, it's on.
No, yeah, no,
No.
but it's not. It didn't. It's
Oh.
closer. Go ahead. It's just.
Sorry. Good evening. Today is Thursday, March 27th, 2025. This is the Property and Development Committee. I'd like to call it to order at 5:04 p.m. If we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we please have the roll call?
Ms. Berrios Perez,
Here.
Mr. Hyder, Ms. Petinici.
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect you have a quorum.
Thank you. Item four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of agenda. I don't believe we have anything.
Those two items.
Madam Chair, you do have the two add-on items at the end for the paid-in
I'm
park.
sorry. Yes.
There's one for the police department and one for some educational group. I've put it at the end of your packet. It should be item 9 and 10. Or proposed, no, I'm, yeah.
Should be 10 and 11.
Yeah.
So item number 10 will be the Derby Police Department request to use Payden Field. And item 11
It says 10, but it should be 11. Sorry. It's the last pages. It says 10.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There's not
I
nine
thought
is
that
the,
was part of the police
yeah,
department.
sorry.
Okay. It is for Partners for Education Leaders. They would like to, they are making a request to use the facilities also. So that will be item number 11.
And Madam Chair, but in both cases, it's not the field, it's the great room. It's not the field
I'm
itself.
sorry.
It's just the great room.
The great room. Okay. My
Unless
apologies.
they get really rambunctious, I don't know.
Nope. Both requests are for the great room, not for the field. Okay. All right. Any other additions to the agenda? No? Okay. Then we will move on to number five. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak? Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to speak? That includes anyone on Zoom. Just come off of mute.
Yes, good evening, Karen Chemises, 25 John Street. I see we have some proposals for the transfer station. And looking at them, I think the larger one is much too aggressive. Was it 5 kilowatts or whatever watts? The smaller one looked to be more reasonable, knowing the extent of wetlands that is back there. But what I would like to know too is that the existing solar panels and these proposed solar panels and batteries and everything, what financial benefit the city is going to be getting. The first panels, I've never really gotten a grasp of what the city benefits from it. And I see that as of yet, you have not put a price tag on the others. The new proposals, because it's a matter of figuring out what's viable for the area. But I think that, rather than just doing things, we should be looking at the economic values that we are going to be receiving rather than just having the panels put on the area there. We're getting more and more populated. The animals have no place to go. So certainly, we're going to be putting a fence around it and everything else. And we have to be thinking of what benefit it is to the city versus just doing something to get a few bucks. As far as doing the garage, that's certainly something that's very, very interesting. And I hopeful hopeful that we can reach some sort of agreement so that we can see that garage renovated. It's well past its life, and I keep waiting for something tragic to happen with that. I certainly would be nervous parking my car in there, but we have to be conscious of the fact that over the years, whenever any downtown project was approved through planning and zoning in that region, it was always stipulated that, oh, we don't have to worry about the parking because we have the garage. So as you're calculating those public spaces, make sure that you're generous enough to be sure that you're contemplating what's happening downtown. You have the Sterling Towers, where there was many times that there was different hearings held by the parking garage authority, where the people in Sterling Towers are saying they specifically moved in there because they liked the fact that the garage was right across the street. So it is certainly a well-used piece of property that we have to serve our residents first and get it up to par and get it so it's a benefit to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, third and final time. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak? Hearing no one else, we will close out the public portion. Item number 6, BQ Energy, proposal to add batteries to solar panels at the transfer station, discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Alders.
Good evening.
Hi, Roger.
I'm Roger. Karen, to perhaps address some of your concerns, as you probably know, the existing system was put in, I believe, about 10 years ago, and it's on a power purchase agreement. And that is an agreement that was signed at that time. It's not on a lease, as far as we know. And we did check, and at that time was the deputy finance director checked. In 2023, our net benefit was $43,000 from that installation. It varies for two reasons. One, the amount of sun, which generates the power, and probably more importantly, is the demand from UI. So if UI is needing power, they will take it. If they're not, they won't. So it's not exactly a controllable revenue stream when you do a power purchase agreement. At this point, you probably know that the landfill is our largest undeveloped land parcel in the city. It's over 40 acres. And just putting in the kind of idea that came up from BQ Energy. Of space left. And just to sort of be clear, BQ Energy is not putting a proposal for expanding at this point. They are just asking for the city's approval to approach United Illuminating. UI, I just keep my hand on it. Maybe
no. Just keep your hand off. It'll stay on.
Okay.
Okay.
Just doesn't seem to like me now. Must be the accent, I guess.
The record should reflect that 5:12, Ms. Vidomsky entered the meeting, so you have your alternate member.
Thank
okay.
You.
Excuse me. So I've gone dead again.
No, you're good.
Good. Okay, great. So there's two proposals on the table. The battery one, where we're talking about Green Derby LLC put that in originally. Green Derby now is part of BQ Energy. And as I understand it, BQ Energy actually owns the resource, which is the batteries. And since they were put in 10 years ago, technology has changed, and now storage batteries are the thing. And it means that instead of just electricity being generated during sunlight hours, you're now storing and adding about an extra 4 hours of generating capacity to the system by just plugging it in. The plug-in would be fairly relatively small, is about the size of a small office. It would be surrounded by a fence just to make sure it's safe. Its batteries is a bit like putting a bigger battery in a Tesla. Just gives you extra range. This gives you extra power. It's a very simple operation. They would incur the expense of installing it, operating it, maintaining it, and removing it if that had to be done at some point. So that's a proposal from the first one, which is just to add batteries to something that they currently own. Okay.
Thank you. You may.
So Roger knows that I've been working on this. We have, if you recall when, this is interesting, is it?
No, it's not. Yours.
Yeah, good. When they presented this proposal, concept, whatever, a month ago, maybe, it was in the name BQ Energy. And one of the concerns I had then was that what relationship, if any, did BQ Energy have with Derby Green? And it took a little doing, but over the last month, they've reissued their proposal in the name of Derby Green, because Derby Green is made up of two LLCs. It is not, this is lawyer talk, but it doesn't appear to be a wholly owned subsidiary of BQ. There are two LLCs. They obviously, it is an affiliated company, so the letter that they recently issued was corrected and issued in the name of Derby Green. Derby Green is the company that entered into a power purchase agreement with the city of Derby and owns the solar array that is out there at the landfill site. However, all right, so let's talk about that for a second. So in concept, I'm saying I don't see a substantive objection to the concept of putting batteries in on their solar panels, their batteries, their solar panels. However, I do have some significant legal issues that I'm working through. One, the only agreement, it seems, that's executed between the city of Derby and Derby Green is the power purchase agreement. Believe it or not, as far as we know, as far as Roger knows, and no one in the city has been able to produce a document, there is no underlying document dealing with the, what I would say, a lease or a license agreement. Remember what we just talked about in terms of scoot and paddle? There is no agreement relative to the solar array being placed on the Derby landfill. So that is an issue that I have. The other issue is when you look at the power purchase agreement obligates the city of Derby to purchase all electricity subject to rates that are set forth in Schedule C of the power purchase agreement. Those rates were set a long time ago. And I'm thinking, just me, I would like to, and there's somebody that we've worked with before in this area, a former DEEP commissioner, if he's still doing it, I'd like him to take a review of this on behalf of the city of Derby, because minimally, if we allow the batteries to go on the solar array, we might be insisting upon amendments to the, it would have to be amended anyway. The power purchase agreement, but we might be insisting upon some further amendments. I'd like to have someone who is very knowledgeable in terms of the current rate structure, in terms of what other rates are being charged these days, to look at the Schedule C. So maybe we can have a dialogue with Derby Green. So those are a couple of the significant issues that I have right now with proceeding at this moment. We're not ready. And the final issue I would say is the finance department, Brian, is the way this works. And you've read a lot about how we're going to make money. This is revenue. This is revenue. Well, it really isn't revenue. What it is, in the simplest sense, is we buy the electricity. We're responsible. We write checks to Derby Green. We get credits from United Illuminating. And that supposedly results in a net savings, if you will. So that's what we would calculate as revenue. Now, part of that equation is what are we paying and how much? And the finance department is having some issues trying to reconcile, and Roger knows this, we talked about this just a moment ago, 2024, the year 2024 with Derby Green. So we would like them, I'd like the finance department to finish that mm-hmm. and to be able to reconcile the amount of credits that come in. And we want to also check the United Illuminating Program in terms of the credits going forward before we agree to the additional capacity, which would in turn obligate us to pay for that power. And I want to make sure the credits are sufficient. Yep. I want to do some economic modeling. So even though in concept, I think this is good thing generally, and solar is good for everybody, and this is you're trying to find an economic utilitarian use for a property that you otherwise could not use for too much, right?
Yep. Right.
It makes sense in concept. So I say, but I would ask you to leave it here for right now. I know what they're saying, but it was at least the last time I did one of these, that authorization, the United Illuminating will only engage. I just would like it left here until we finish the due diligence. We have a lot of moving parts here. And then we can, assuming it all checks out, you know, the old trust but verify, that's what I want to do. Get this all together. Make sure we're right on everything. We were right on the ownership issue. We were right on who the proposal has to come from. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that the city will benefit as much as they project. It might actually turn out benefiting more, but we really want to see how, I want to see how 2024, now that we have a finance director, I really want to see how 2024 came out, and I want to check the credits, because in the past, you know, things were not as solid as they are right now with our finance department. So that's where I am. I wanted to give a full explanation. So with that, I'd ask that you keep it in committee so we can do more work on this.
Well, I appreciate that, because one of my questions was I wanted to understand how the credits worked. So
yeah, and I want to get a fuller understanding myself as to right now what's being done, and also against the rate structure that we entered into 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you see that agreement, there's some pretty onerous provisions in there. Like an early buyout would cost seven figures, for example. We've passed that. But I mean, so when you look at some of the clauses, they're not quite all like that now. But in any event, there's my comments.
All right. We appreciate it. Any questions?
No, I would definitely would like to really see what more in depth about this before we make a decisions, because this is something big, and especially if we're having two different LLC companies, going more depth into it would be more beneficial. So I also agree waiting this out.
Okay. Then I think that we are going to table this until the next subcommittee meeting, which would be in April, pending investigative.
We're going to keep working.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll bring that back in April. If not April, we'll bring it back in May when it's ready.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. That was item six. Item number seven. Roger, don't go anywhere. BQ Energy proposal to add. Hold on. Proposal to add more solar panels at the transfer station, discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Alders.
So it's a request for the city to allow any solar bidder to approach United Illuminating. It's a request really from United Illuminating. And it so happens that BQ Energy works with United Illuminating, so they know each other pretty well. And going back to 2 years or so ago, we had a proposal from another company called Citrine Power that went through the board. It was approved at the board level. It went through an 824, so it went through the procedures. And Citrine Power discovered in the end that they couldn't do it on our landfill. It was too challenging. Okay. And so that's the situation. We got left with trying to find another, and BQ Energy was actually kind of endorsed by United Illuminating. Since that time, we did talk about issuing an RFP. I did draft an RFP on the 10th of March after the last meeting, and did send it to the town clerk and to our city attorney. It's the technical part of the RFP, and I recognize there is some legalese to be added to it, but at this point, it has not been issued.
So if I could just
you may
dovetail onto that. Yeah. Roger's right. I do believe there has to be a procurement process. The more times we're able to bid and create mm-hmm. competition, and particularly where you have, I didn't realize the parcel is quite as large as it is. I've heard other descriptions over the years, but if it is 40 acres and you have a substantial amount of additional property here, different operators may look at the remaining property in different ways. We've already kind of seen some of that. So I think it absolutely makes sense to do an RFP on it, because I do believe we need a procurement process. And also, some of the comments that I made about the batteries mm-hmm. are also applicable in terms of being able to analyze what we're going to do here, for example, on a go-forward basis. I'd like to have some idea from United Illuminating in terms of the present credit program. I'd like to engage with our finance department a little bit. And we take Roger's language and we'll put together an RFP and then have that go out to the world and see if we get competition beside just BQ. Not that there's anything wrong with them. I'm pretty certain they're a fine company. Let's see what we get, though. There are other operators. I know, maybe not as Roger points out in terms of landfills, but maybe, I know they're not the only one out there. So we can see what competition brings. We can see what kind of offer we get, if any, for it, and then authorize and move forward. So we're not quite ready for this mm-hmm. At this time.
Just perhaps a piece of information. I did, after the last meeting, there's a fairly large consulting company in the state called Resource Development Associates, and they specialize in solar installations and work with a lot of. So I talked to them, and they identified a company called Verology. And Verology has just completed a landfill in Middletown, about the same size, about 4 megawatts. So I invited Verology to come in, and they looked at the site. And I said, what would you propose? They came back and said they couldn't do it on that site. It's too challenging. And so it's not going to be an easy find.
And there may not be anybody else. And they may be the only one. And they may say they can only do 5 more acres or 7 more acres. And,
right.
And then we'll see what their proposal is, and we'll try to do it. We'll determine, whether we should do it, I think, at that point.
Okay.
All right.
Mark, I don't know whether Paul Curran is called in or not.
Yes, I have, Roger. I've been listening.
But do you have any comments to make, Paul?
We would like to move forward with working with United Illuminating, but I certainly respect all the comments made. It's Green Derby, not Derby Green, but...
Oh, I keep doing that, Paul. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I've been doing that from the beginning. Yes.
Not an issue at all. But certainly all the comments made have been... very appropriate, and we look forward to working with the city. I understood today, I think there was a request sent over to United Illuminating to get the records for 2024. The records showed for 2023 that the city saved, I think, $43,000, as Roger said. I haven't seen the figures for 2024, but we look forward to seeing them and hope it's a similar savings for the city.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. I did have a couple of questions, but I'm going to save them. Attorney Petrella actually asked some of them already. But I did do a little research, and some cities pay by the number of acres that are used, mm-hmm. and other cities pay flat rates. So obviously we're going to figure that out, what the best course of action is when we get to that stage. Do you have any questions, Jess? Okay. All right. Then I will make a motion to table this to a future meeting. Probably April's meeting if we're ready to do so. If not, we'll move it to another meeting. So I will make that in the form of a motion.
Second.
Thank you. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I forgot that you were on the phone. Do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay. All right. We will bring this back to a future meeting. Item number 8. Grant for solar lighting on the Greenway. Discussion and possible recommendation to full Board of Alders.
I guess that's me again.
Yes, it is.
just, again, a bit of background. In 2023, we were encouraged to apply for a grant to both repair the Greenway Bridge, which is in pretty bad shape, and combine that with actually adding solar lighting to the Greenway itself. That was a thing called a community investment fund, state run, came back and we got declined and asked if we would think about it again. So we've in fact separated the two out. And as you may know, there's another project going to try to figure out who owns the Greenway Bridge and then fix it. Right now there is a hole in the bridge. You can actually look through it. Okay, it's not great. I don't want to say anything that would compromise any future activity on it, but the bridge is not really being maintained over the years. So we are bringing back the other part of the project, which is the 2-mile greenway we have. It's part of the 44-mile Naugatuck River Greenway, and it is now being confirmed it is the most used of the 29 trails in the program that the University of Connecticut is running. And the city plows it to maintain it's available all the seasons. And when you look at the census results, a lot of the usage is actually before and after work hours, which can be dark, particularly in the winter. So we do know, and perhaps Brian can confirm, it continues to experience nuisance crimes, graffiti, drug dealing, and a couple of years ago, there was a serious rape crime. And so I think it's constrained the number of people who would like to use it because of that kind of history. And there was a petition signed by 200 residents submitted to the city to ask to provide improved safety with cameras and 24/7 lighting. So we're kind of responding to that input from the city. The challenge is that the Greenway is on the levee, and the levee is owned and essentially operated and maintained by the Army Corps of Engineers. And one of the constraints of that is you cannot trench, you cannot tunnel, you cannot dig into the levee. So we've talked to the Army Corps of Engineers and suggested the idea of using solar lighting because that doesn't need power cables. And they were okay with that, providing if we take out like a wooden post that's there right now and put in a post to hold a solar light, it doesn't change what's there at the moment. So it'll be the same depth, be no trenching. So the concept is to install lighting. I did send some details out. The grant application is being drafted around the input we've got from a company that does this. And I think we distributed that as part of the material. It would be involved some 32 lights, 65 lights in total, with 21 security cameras, and approximately 32 poles equally spaced on each side of the walkway. So the lights would alternate from one side to the other and provide a zigzag asymmetric pattern to ensure uniform illumination. So we've got some technical work done on the height of the lights, the power of the lights, the distance apart of the lights, etc., to try to find the least cost way of doing it. So the standard pole height is looking like it about 12 feet high, but they will not have electrical outlets. So be strictly the battery will be inside the light itself. Okay. And we've talked with the company that's put in the security systems in the parking garage. They also put them in the Board of Education building. And they have come up with a quotation in addition to the lights to what it would take to connect security cameras. And they're looking at every third pole would have a security camera in it. And it would be wireless because there's no power. So it'll be actually run from the battery in the light. And the system is called smart lighting because it's got sensors in. It determines if it's daylight or not, determines if there's motion like people walking or biking. And it can have other sensors like gunshots. It can respond to that and send out messages. So at this point, all we're asking is for the city's approval to move forward with preparing a grant. And the grant would be for $350,000 for the lights and $150,000 for the totally installed security system.
I'm just trying to figure just one little thing out. Is this grant administered? What department has this? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. When I looked at this, it referred to the Commissioner of Agriculture.
No, that was another one. That was the grant we did on the last meeting for the revitalization of downtown. That's USDA. This is a DECD grant.
DECD.
Yeah.
And Roger,
but you know, condition of the grant is they require essentially a resolution from the city that we are, supporting.
I think the grant is a great idea, and I think lights it's always a great idea. I'm just the only thing that caught my eye is when I was looking at this, and it wasn't even just I just saw Department of Agriculture. And
yeah, that was.
So this grant. Is the wrong. I understand. Yes. I understand.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We got a lot of grants at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sarah, did you have a question?
Oh yeah. Roger, it's Sarah. Who is writing up the grant?
We have a
grant
arrangement for the
company.
Put your mic on, Roger.
Thank you.
We've had some bad experience with our own existing grant writer, as you probably know. I think we've written four grants and none of them have been successful. So to the large extent, I'm writing the grant. I'm providing the material. There's a company called GCA, who are grant writers, we've paid them a upfront deposit of $2,500. If they aren't successful, they reimburse us for that. So they are the ones actually writing the grant, but it'll be submitted by the city.
Okay, so not our grant writer, Natasha. Is she still working?
She's still working, but I mean, others can respond, but unfortunately it hasn't worked out so far.
She's written four grants.
She's written four grants for us and none of them have been accepted.
Okay.
Which is disturbing because two of those four were for distressed communities and they went to New Haven and Bridgeport and none of the little urban people got the grants. I don't know, Brian, do you want to mention anything about the security system that you've so far put in?
First I'm hearing about it, but...
Yeah, not on this one, but I mean, we have them in the parking garage now and the Board of Education's got them.
Definitely beneficial. Thank you for getting them to the Board of Ed recently.
Okay, they work. Okay. And hopefully we apprehend people.
Okay. Sarah, great question. I had that also on my list. So, Roger, I don't know if you know this, but what I mean, I know there's solars and they're not electric in any way, but you know, water gets into things and who would have to, would they be coming out periodically to check them? Was it something that Derby Public Works would have to monitor and go back to them?
Right. Same RFP process. The company we've been talking with to get some of the technical background is actually based in North Brantford, and they have done this in several of the UConn campuses for exactly the same reason, lighting and security. So, you know, they make them outdoors basically safe. And I don't know this, but I assume they would have some kind of maintenance contract with us.
And Roger, you're talking about speaking with one company. I see in the materials here that were provided at Penn Globe. Have there been any other discussions with other potential vendors? And, you know, is this something that needs to go out to bid?
No, we would certainly go out to bid, Sarah. We worked with Penn Globe on that first application that was turned down, so we know they've got the capability. They've been helpful enough to us and to our grant writer to provide the technical information I've already supplied. So they've given us the information on how tall, how bright, how many, all that kind of stuff. There was a presentation by them, I think, back in 2023, Sarah, here at the boardroom.
Yes, I recall. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think we went out to bid that time either. So just wondering if we were correcting that at all. Thank you.
Yeah, we didn't go out to bid because we didn't even get the grant. So, you know. So the big push is getting the grant first. And all we need at this point is an approval to apply for the grant.
Great. Thank you.
The deadline for the grant, by the way, is May 21st.
Okay. All right. So it would need to go to the next full board. Okay, good. Any questions?
Free money is always good. You could apply. It never hurts to ask for grants.
Yep.
You just don't know if you're going to get them.
Yeah, I'm just nervous that if there's another table and then we miss the board meeting in May, and that would be
late. And lighting is good, so it doesn't.
Right, but it would mean waiting until the next round, which is next year. Okay.
Thank you, Roger.
I have a question, just one thing. Are we eligible for the Community Connectivity Grant?
Okay, Mark, can you repeat your question?
Yeah, are we eligible for the Community Connectivity Grant? Because we have other connectivity grants that we have not expended or finished.
That's true, and we've checked that out with them. Initially, we found out that recreational trails were not eligible, which we thought was a big problem. And the grants are really for construction of trails. In this case, it's a connectivity grant that's connecting us all the way through the 44 miles and back into it. Okay.
So I'll make the motion to move it to the full board.
Okay, motion made by Jess to move to the full board to apply for the grant for solar lighting on the Derby Greenway. Is there a second? I'll second it. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor? Aye. Okay, this item has moved forward to the full board to apply for the grant for the solar lighting for the Greenway. Item number 9, RFP for lease or sale of the municipal parking garage, discussion and possible recommendation to full Board of Alders. Linda, hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. So I'm really excited to bring this forward. I think you all know the history of the parking garage. It has really outlived its ability to be maintained safely. There are a lot of issues with it. We've applied for, speaking of grants, between this administration and the last, we've applied for 4 grants, and we've been turned down for all of them. The last one was simply a make-safe grant for $900,000. It was not a fancy, full-blown facelift for this lady. It was completely just to make it safe, level by level. And we got turned down for that, too. So I know that at this point, and I'm sure Brian Hall would back me up, we don't have the money here. And it doesn't seem to me in this climate of grants and federal kinds of loans, that there's not going to be much out there. I hear that a lot from our state reps and Senator Cabrera. It seems to me the best thing to do is to try to privatize it either through lease or through sale. I've talked to some people. I hear that there's interest by at least maybe 3 parties. 2 of them are developers who either have had or have a current project here in the city. And another is, I think, George, a friend of yours, that he came down. He's a developer in the Waterbury area. So I think that there's interest in this. I think there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of possibilities with the money from coming from David Corus for transit district housing, the parking garage being within the half a mile of the train station. There would be monies for maybe a floor or 2 of apartments. There's going to be maybe a little bit of room for some retail, which would be lovely. You know, maybe a coffee shop across from City Hall would be really nice, something of that nature. But the foundation of this is that the a lot of what we have in terms of parking spaces are leased out. You know, we talked about Sterling Towers. There's also Cohen and Thomas has a couple. The post office has some. The courthouse has some. So the heart of this is that those contracts are respected. Nobody's going to get the rug pulled out from under them. They're not going to not have a space. It will always be a parking garage with maybe some amenities. EV parking, EV charging, maybe a little solar on the roof. There are a lot of things that a developer can bring to this that the city can't. And so I'm respectfully asking that you consider moving this forward. Attorney Batorla did a wonderful job on this, and I thank him for that. Questions?
I do not. Jess or Sarah, do you have any other questions on this item? No, Sarah, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
No, you're okay.
Okay, sorry. There's like some feedback from this mic. Okay. This was...
Roger wants to add something.
Can I just add
something? Roger, absolutely, can add.
I did a lot of work trying to get this thing fixed, okay? And as you know, we didn't get the money. But what we have done is used our consulting engineers to look at the structural analysis, which they've done, and it will support at least 2 more floors of like apartments. That's why it becomes an interesting to a developer, not so much the parking garage, but the revenue, which would then come back to the city because it would be a privately owned operation.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate this. Was very well put together. A very good read. So I appreciate that. So I will make the motion to move forward to the full board this RFP for lease or sale for the municipal parking garage.
I'll second that, Sarah.
Okay. First by Amy, second by Sarah. Are there any other discussions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that item passes to the full Board of Alders.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Appreciate it.
Item number 10, is the request to use the Payton Field House by the Derby Police Department.
Good evening, everyone. Brian Grogan, Deputy Chief of Derby Police. I just wanted to formally request to use the Great Room at Payton Field House for a training that we will be hosting May 12th through the 16th. I know things have changed over the years, so I wanted to formally ask to use it as well as waive any fees associated with it. We've previously hosted classes in January as well as last week here in this room, and we've run into some issues as far as parking, as well as with meetings at nighttime, having to come up, break all the tables down and everything else. The use of that room would be ideal. There's ample parking. We expect about 30 people to come, so it'll be another 30 cars, and that is May 12th through the 16th.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, how many additional cars? You said like 30?
We anticipate 30 people in the class. Yeah, so it'll be 30 cars. We do reap a benefit as the police department by hosting the class. They waive the fee based on the enrollment, and it is $800 per person for the class. It's a national instructor that comes in. It's contracted through FPI LEDO, which is a leadership training, mm-hmm. and it's an executive level course. It's kind of their flagship model. It's a trilogy. We've hosted the supervisory level, the command level, and now it's the executive level.
Interesting.
Madam Chair, just by way of background, I know this is kind of new to this particular committee, but because it's not, it's another company that's putting on that is conducting it. Yeah. It's not a police department.
Yep.
It's attended by the police department, but it's another company that's doing it. So by the policy, they would have to pay in order to do it. So the request for the waiver is because, you know, obviously the city's getting two tuitions or two or three, right?
Right. That would, free yeah. in the class. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, it's not a technically a police department run thing.
By, you know,
it's not by the, it's an outside vendor. So the vendor's charging the other people tuition.
Yep.
We're getting remunerated. So that, gotcha. That, but that's the reason why, because of the way, because of who the presenter is.
Understood.
And actually, that's the same for the other one that you have too.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Say the same. It's outside vendors.
Then. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Sorry. Some of us just received this a little bit before. So we were just reading through while we were sitting here. Sarah or Jess, do you have any questions?
I do not just, the only thing I'm for this, especially with, again, I understand from what Mark just said, because we're hosting, you'll get free tuition. Is that
correct? By hosting the class based on the enrollment levels, we reap the benefit by getting every 10 people enrolled in it, we receive a free seat.
Okay, great. The only thing I just want, just to clarify on the waiver. So there's certain things on the waivers that just the custodial fees that mm-hmm. are never waivable fees. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear. But I mean, that should be negligible okay. amount.
All right, any other questions? Okay, then would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to move the use of the Great Room to the full board.
Okay, motion by Jess.
I'll second that, Sarah.
Second by Sarah. Any other discussion?
Do we want to add those dates in to the motion? Maybe yep. yes, maybe no.
Oh, it'll be from May 12th to May 16th, 2025.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, just to let you know the times, it's Monday through Thursday is 8 to 4, and it's a half day on Friday the 16th. It'll be up by noon.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, any other questions? All in favor to move this to the full board? Aye?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a good night. Okay. Now we are on item number 11, which is also a request to use the room. And this is by Educational Learning. I'm sorry, Partners for Educational Leaders. And they would also like to use the Great Room. And these dates are May 14th. Wait. That would definitely not work because it looks like we just approved the Great Room to be moved to the full board the 12th through the 16th and at the same time. All right.
Madam Chair, and this, I only received this. I don't know anything else about this one. There was no cover letter like the other one, so I can't speak to it.
Okay, then I'm just going to feel like we should table this one then. Yeah. All right, I'm going to make a motion to table this one.
Second.
Okay, second by Jess. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then item number 11 will come back at a follow-up meeting, perhaps in April. Okay. All right. Then we are now on item number 12, I believe, right? Which is adjournment. Is there a motion by anyone?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn made by second, Jessica at 5:56, second by Sarah. Any questions? Any other discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Meeting is adjourned at 5:56 p.m. Everyone have a great night.
You as well.